One Echo Papa Portable, clear and on the side.
VE1 Echo Papa M6 QDY.
Yeah, go ahead there, Dave. You want Echo Papa Portable.
Yep, sorry about that. When the wife comes down and asks questions, I drop everything. Anyways, okay, I follow you now on canceling the flight.
Yeah, it takes a crew, and the guy to do the weather and one to watch the airport, and then a safety crew, and then a camera crew. It takes a few people to have a safe launch.
Yeah, I was looking at, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was looking at the rules and regulations for that. Obviously, the FAA has got to get involved. And for the heck of it, I wanted to find out, one of my drones is a DJI Mini. I wanted to find out what it would take to launch, not launch, but bring a Pi 3 up in the air. And Pico balloon. I was just looking at all that stuff. So the Raspberry Pi 3, for example, is like 48 grams, and the capabilities for a payload on one of my drones is like 150 to 180 grams. So I said, oh, okay. So I started getting some ideas of stuff to play around with. But anyways, getting back to the Pico balloon, I was looking up the rules and regs and kind of tangented me off to the drones and stuff. But anyways, back to you.
Yeah, I have to stay under the 1,000-foot mark simply because I'm right over the Halifax International Airport runway, and they... And lo and behold, the last 2 weeks, there's been one coming in at just under 1,000 feet, right over my house. So I think the safest thing to do is get someone that's familiar with the air traffic and make sure there's nothing coming when we go to the launch. Over.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and I was looking at some guys here in Sixth Land that was over here in the U.S. that was... There, I didn't realize how heavy it was, heavy duty it was. They're really into it. And one thing that led me to that is that AG6 call that you shared with me and all that good stuff. And I just started peeling the layers of the onion, so to speak, and started, oh, wow, there's a guy here, there's a guy here. This guy's not too far from me and all that, so... Anyways, I just was curious, but real good on your canceling stuff. Well, hey, you know, it's just not meant to be, but maybe later on.
Yeah, I think what it is a lot of the folks are getting ready for field day there tomorrow, so they're tied up, and I'm okay with that. I'm not... heartbroken or anything, we'll see what tomorrow brings. That's all I can say. Over.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was just thinking of, I've got a NFED. I was just going to throw the wire out the window. I just got so many projects that I want to do, and it's just never, I tangent a lot. Anyways, so I was going to participate in field that day that way, but we'll see. Because wife and I's anniversary is tomorrow, so got to get ready for all that good stuff. So, you know, that kind. So anyways, so a lot of things going on, but yeah. look forward to the videos when you finally get that thing launched.
Yeah, I did have a meeting, brief meeting this morning with, I don't know what you would call it, air control, but he deciphers the angle of the kite and the balloon with the weight and the wind direction, all that sort of good stuff. Man, he got his stuff down to a science.
I was gonna ask some of the guys, because I would imagine the rules are pretty similar, if not the same. You know, you got to contact the FAA, or do you got to fill any kind of forms out? Does the balloon have to have, you know, a certain beacon on their frequency, or how does that all work?
Because the balloon is so small and the payload is so small, we pass any criteria of such. Although we have to remember, you know, you're in the flight path, and my only concern is that if the balloon let go and went up, I just wouldn't want to have any aircraft coming within until they got out of airspace that's going to be controlled by the airport, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, so you wouldn't have to contact anybody. You would just monitor maybe some kind of system like, what is that one that I use? Air something, rather, where you can see the planes coming in and going. And whenever we go, you know, or when my daughters and my son go up, we usually track them until they get to their, you know, destination and whatnot. So you don't have to call anybody. You just kind of time it and monitor the data on the computer for air traffic.
Yeah, I've got a ground crew that does that, so I don't have to worry about it. He knows more about it than I do. Just we try to stay away from any the worst possible scenario. That's all. Over.
Real good. Yeah, and I'll do some reading up myself just to see what's up. Just amazed that, you know, I'll see some balloons that are, I don't know if it's a certain material, plastic, clear plastic it looks like, and then I'll see some guys that are using some kind of, you know, like a foil, like those foil balloons, you know, and it just amazes me that it keeps the gases in there for a pretty long time and brings it up to, for example, 35,000 feet, and it just keeps cruising. I was just looking at AG6NS23, and it was going at 35 or 36,000 at 60 miles an hour up there, which to me is still fast, but not as fast as an aircraft. But yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing, and how it keeps the gases in there. And I was looking at one guy, how he used a thermal sealer to seal up whatever gases are in there. Oh, that was pretty cool, too, how they did it. So, yeah, a little bit interested just to see what's up.
Yeah, most people use nitrogen. I guess is it nitrogen or yeah, helium is a very easy gas to get your hands on. But the nitrogen, you got to rent the containers. You got to rent the containers, and then it's a little cheaper on the product. But where helium, you can buy it at your local Canadian Tire store.